Here we are midweek, meeting coast to coast on the radio here in the USA and all the way around the world on the God Is podcast. I packed a lot in yesterday, and I hope that if you have any questions or comments on that, you will write to me. One of the things I wanted to do last time was to pray for those of you who are sick, fighting a disease, or dealing with a lifelong illness. I simply ran out of time. As we get going now, let me pray for you. Dear Father, I pray now for these dear friends within the sound of my voice who are not well, and I ask for your will to be done in their lives. If it is within your will to heal them, then please do so, Lord. Thank you that your healing will be instantaneous and complete. If it is not your will to bring healing, then give this man or this woman the gift of your presence, your compassion, your strength to endure their affliction, and your abiding love. We recognize that it is not always within your will to heal, and we confess that we do not understand this, and sometimes it makes us doubt you, or it can make us angry with you, and sometimes we feel very down. But thank you for always coming through on your promise to never leave us or forsake us, and thank you that one day in heaven there will be no more sickness. We will live forever in perfect bodies, free of everything but perfection. Our Lord, we look forward with great anticipation to when you will make all things new. I pray today for the family members and close friends of people who are sick and for those who mourn because they recently lost someone they dearly love to death. Be near to this person. We believe you can heal us. Only you can. So help us to trust in you with all our hearts. Amen. If you ever need prayer for anything, write to me. I'm happy to pray for you. And now let's go back to Matthew chapter 4 and look at this third temptation that Jesus faces in the wilderness. I'm reading Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil took Jesus to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you, if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to the devil, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." This is God's word to you this day in Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10. As I comment on this third temptation, I'll follow the same pattern I did with the first two in terms of application. Remember that the first temptation, verses 3 through 4, was a temptation for the individual Christian. Then the second temptation, verses 5 through 7, was a temptation for the global church. And now in the third temptation, we have a temptation for every person in the world. Of course, as most of us here are Christians, we will bear down on how this affects us. But be sure of this, Satan wants the whole world to worship him. He lusts for this. The fallen angel, the devil, now wants to take as many people with him to the eternal lake of fire as possible. And tragically, we live in a world cram-packed full of people who worship the devil. And you will see what I mean by this as we move forward throughout the remainder of this week. Let's take the text verse by verse. And in verse 8, I want to highlight three insights. First, if you've been reading Matthew 4 on your own closely, then you will know that this is the only one of the three temptations in which the devil does not mention Jesus being the Son of God. In the first temptation, in Matthew 4, verse 3, the devil begins, "If you are the Son of God." And in the second temptation, in Matthew 4, verse 6, the devil starts, "If you are the Son of God." But here in verse 8, he does not say this. Why? Satan knows this is implied when he says, "the kingdoms of the world." As I have already told you, the devil knows the Bible very well, and he's aware of the following promise made by God the Father to Jesus the Son. Listen to Psalm chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. We go back to the Old Testament now in the Psalms, interpreting the Bible with the Bible. "I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession.'" Did you hear that? In Psalm 2, God declares, "You are my son." This is why the devil does not mention Jesus being the Son of God in Matthew 4, verse 8, at the third temptation. It is assumed. Furthermore, Psalm 2, verses 7 through 8 already promises to Jesus all of the nations as Christ's inheritance, the very ends of the earth as his possession. So, in Matthew 4, the devil is only promising that which God has already guaranteed Jesus to have. Listen also to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. This is the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 11 and verse 15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Oh yes, praise God. I love this promise. This is a good word for us today. This kingdom of the world we live in, our own country, for example, being ripped apart by violence, will, the firm promise of God, will become the kingdom of our Lord. And then the Bible has news for all these corrupt, sinful, and prideful political rulers. Christ Jesus will reign forever and ever. Are you discouraged, frustrated, and angry about what you see happening within the kingdoms of this world? Take heart. Remember the promise of God. King Jesus is coming. My second insight into Matthew 4, verse 8, deals with geography. Jesus and the devil wind up on a very high mountain. We are not told which one, but whatever mountain it was, there is also a panoramic view of more than what the human eye can see. Verse 8 continues, "Show Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." Jesus sees more than Jerusalem or even all of Israel. At a minimum, he sees all the great world empires. Imagine our Lord looking out over the Egyptian, the Roman, the Ottoman, the Mongol. Hey, let's even put the British Empire in there, to name only a few. So if your favorite world empire did not make my list, no need to write to me. I am including it. In some sort of vision, Jesus sees them all. This was impressive to Jesus, right? No. Actually, this was not impressive to our Lord at all. Which brings me to insight number 3. Focus with me on the word glory at the end of verse 8. I want you to listen to the very insightful commentary of our old friend, John Albert Brodus, on this word glory as it relates to the kingdoms of the world and Christ's perspective on the kingdoms he's looking at. In his commentary on the book of Matthew, Brodus writes, quote, "Glory was especially paraded before Christ's view, but Jesus would look beneath the glittering surface and see hollowness, degradation, suffering, and ruin. Doubtless, his ardent desire to save men was not weakened by this panorama, but greatly strengthened. Throughout Christ's subsequent ministry, the idea of a glorious and all-embracing earthly kingdom was often pressed upon Jesus by the multitude and consequently cherished by his chosen followers, but rejected by Jesus." End quote. That is very true. As it stands prior to the time when Jesus will come again to reign and rule this earth, the kingdoms of the world offer not glory, but unglory, due to their wretched sinfulness. If you know anything about the world empire, such that you can study in history books, or by visiting museums in the countries where these kingdoms once existed, you will quickly learn that there wasn't much glory to them, by way of what God defines as glorious. Earlier this summer, I was in Greece again and was reminded anew at how sinful was the lifestyle that was lived in the ancient Greco-Roman world. The same is true of the other leading kingdoms of this world. Jesus came to rescue sinners from the grip of Satan, who the Bible describes as the god of this world. The devil's plan to entice Jesus here backfires on him. Jesus knows the plan of God his Father, and the time has not yet come for Christ to reign in the same way he will reign during the millennium, that period of 1,000 years the Bible speaks so much about that is still future. Long before the millennial reign, Jesus must first complete his earthly ministry, and so Christ here rejects Satan's wicked scheme. These are the three insights I want to give you today on Matthew 4, verse 8. And now, let's get our foot in the door in verse 9. I'll read it again. And the devil said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Let's split this verse into two parts. Part one, all these things I will give you. Part two, if you fall down and worship me. Let me start to cover part one today. We'll carry this over into tomorrow. And to really understand what the devil is saying here, we have to consult with the perspective the gospel writer Luke gives us on this temptation. Listen now to Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. "And the devil said to Jesus, 'I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish.'" We do not have time, and it would take us off course to delve into the theological implications of the devil's statement, but it is very biblical. Indeed, there is a world system that is ruled by Satan. We do not know, because we are not told by God, what is the exact nature of this, nor of its limits. We'd love to know that. I know I would. But we do know this system exists with the devil as its head. For example, over in John's Gospel, the devil is referred to repeatedly as the ruler of this world. Here are three references for you to read tonight. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 31, chapter 14, verse 30, and chapter 16, verse 11. That is John 12, 31, 14, 30, and 16, 11. Satan is the ruler of this world. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 4, 4 describes the devil as the god of this world. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Somehow, within the sovereignty of God, and while God rules the devil, the Lord has given to the devil a certain domain. It has been handed over to him for now. But when you read the revelation of Jesus Christ, you'll clearly see God's going to take it back. Oh, yes. Amen. Now, please do come back tomorrow. We will finish this look into part 1 of verse 9 and move into part 2. So join me then, for God is...